This is the official Scottish Rugby podcast with Caroline Blair and Chris Patterson. And today we're back in the Scotland Team Hotel and we're joined by Meryl Smith, fresh from pretty decent weekend in Cardiff for you. How are you feeling?
Yeah, still on a high, I think, definitely. Yeah, pretty amazing weekend. Amazing to get the win. And yeah, another tough week of training, but it's been good.
We've had a few tight games with Wales over the last few years. It was another tight one, although different in some ways, because I think it felt almost in control a lot of the time, but couldn't quite finalise it on the scoreboard. And then, of course, Wales came back right at the very end. So take you to the last couple of minutes. What's running through your mind when there's an opportunity for Wales to draw level with almost the last kick of the game?
Oh, it's very, very stressful. I think we definitely don't make it easier for ourselves. The last few games have all come down like so narrow. Mm. And we knew like it would be the same again this year. But honestly, that last kick, I was in the stands, my eyes behind my hands, like, couldn't look. But yeah, just to come out on the right side of it was so good. It's tough when you've got such close games and just missing out. So to finally get the win was really
You've had a few on the wrong side against Wales as well, haven't you? Especially down there, where it's just kind of final kick or final moments. But I think they deserved a win. I think you'd be maybe frustrated with elements that could have done more or you had a little bit more control at times, but it was windy, it's first game, you're away from home. To come away a win, I think it's a really good start.
It was one of those games as well that, as a Scotland fan, was great to watch. As a neutral, would have been great to watch too. It was a great advert for Guinness Women's Six Nations. Talk to us about the two tries. I mean, that first try in particular.
Oh, yeah, straight off the training field, honestly. It's so good when it works out. Like, we've been running through those plays all week. And, like, yeah, when it works, it's just, that's great. And then Corinne does the hard work on the wing, stepping left, right, centre. So, yeah, so good. That was lovely. Like, just to get ahead, get that try in early, felt really good.
And the assist was there.
Yeah, well, yeah, I didn't do too much. Just gave her the ball, let her do the hard work. Yeah, and then Rona's try. Emma's just running around everyone. Rona, with this pace in the corner. Like, when you got backs that can do stuff like that, it's easy work just giving them the ball.
We had Matt Banahan on last week, so were they both Banners' moves? Is he taking a bit of credit for that?
He's definitely taking some credit, I think. Yeah.
It's good, though. And that style of play, it suits the personnel you have. Obviously, you can play a number of positions. We'll cover that, 10, 12, 15 mm-hmm. at the weekend. And, you know, I think that like play like that suits Scottish teams and it suits your team as well. So to get in so early in the championship and so early in the game with two, well, certainly the first try early in the game, it gives loads of confidence in the style that you've prepared to play and then executing out there.
Yeah, I think definitely just trying to play more to our strengths now. Like, I think we knew the Welsh would be physical, like they come up front, and we didn't want to just try and fight fire with fire. We knew that where our strengths lie and we could try and beat them out wide, and yeah, it worked well for us, I think.
That was your first shift at 15 in a Scotland jersey, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
How did that come about?
Yeah, it's been...
You've played a bit for Bristol there recently, haven't you?
Yeah, it's not new to you, but it's...
A bit of an experiment at Bristol, I think, and it's good, I enjoy it. I think there's a lot of similarities between 10 and 15, definitely, and I think it allows us to have like two playmakers on the field, which is quite nice. And yeah, it's all right, it's hard work, definitely getting the metres in. I don't think I quite appreciated that beforehand. It's hard work for sure, but yeah, no, I enjoyed it. It's fun out there.
You can relate to that.
Yeah, totally, yeah. Like, exactly what Meryl says in terms of having two potential first receivers or two kind of ball players or players with experience at playing 10, understanding how difficult it is to play 10. So in the game, you can help out whoever's at 10, whether it's Nelly or whoever, and you can share the workload. But you also run further than anyone else and touch the ball less. So you have to equate this massive GPS score of metres covered or kilometres covered, but you might only have 10 touches of the ball, or you might only have one tackle to make, but the tackle has to be made because there's no one else to back you up, and the 10 touches or however your contacts on the ball, they have to be good because you're exposed if they're not. So it's a matter of running miles, staying involved in the game without actually directly being involved in the game at times. It's quite a discipline.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, definitely. I made one tackle at the weekend.
And then you shout at everybody else for letting them through. Yeah. That's what I used to do. But you have to make it when it's one-on-one. It's a responsibility.
I can't feel sore when, I don't know, EVG's put in like 18 tackles. Like, yeah, maybe less so.
Did you enjoy playing in the 15 jersey?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, with the backs that we have, it really opens it up, and we got a fair bit of ball out wide. And yeah, I think you get a different point of view from 15. You can see more of the pitch. And yeah, it's exciting. I think it was fun. I enjoyed it.
going back to those chais, both chais have been nominated and shortlisted for chai of round one, which is great out of the four that have been shortlisted. They were great though, weren't they?
Mm. Oh yeah, like you say, first phase moves need to be called at the right time. They need a platform to play off, you know, and you've got that, but then need to be executed. I mean, it's all very well having these moves that you know will work, but you've got to execute them. You've got to execute them under pressure. And I see again, it was windy. I mean, the wind was pretty strong, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was. Which has an effect on your depth and your alignment. And then there was everything in it. There was a bit of evasion, quality finishing, as you say, in both wings. So it's a way Scotland, I believe, it gives Scotland, whichever team it is, the best way of, or the best chance of winning. It's a style of play that suits our age group sides, our men's sides, women's sides, and it's good to see it at the top level.
And looking ahead then, you know, you've got a different beast, you've got a different animal to face when you take on France at Hive. Yeah. How are preparations going for that game?
Yeah, going really well. Like, I think it's they play a completely different style to the Welsh, so trying to learn...
Wider, quicker,
I think, yeah, both.
Quite exciting then.
Yeah, definitely. I think it'll be a fun game, as like they play with a lot of flair, so I think trying to calm that a wee bit, trying to calm their offloads and everything. So we've been working on that this week, and it's looking good. I think we're looking to keep playing the way we want to play. I think we showed a bit of that against Wales, which was exciting, and just keep building that in attack, and then defence, just trying to calm them a bit and keep them under control.
Remember the game at home? Well, last year was disappointing, wasn't it, away from home? I don't think that, when it was off the top of my head, it was like, I can't remember, it was like 38-0 or something along those lines.
It was a tough day.
I don't think it was as shocking as a nil scoreline. 2 years ago, I remember, there was effectively 10 minutes of genius or 5 minutes of genius from Sansusa, I think, at nine, that turned the game. And you know, she's going to be really important. But I feel as if the contests have been better than the scores suggested, but they are a top team, aren't they?
Yeah.
France and WXV1, and they're one of the top teams in the world.
Yeah, definitely. I think they played really well at the World Cup. They put in some good performances. I think they perhaps had a bit of a tougher time at WXV, and I think there's rooms that we can, areas that we can target after that. But yeah, they've got some really quality players. They play exciting rugby, and yeah, it'll be a tough challenge.
Mm. And the gap is closing as well as time evolves and as time progresses. Yeah. And we see what Scotland, I mean, 7 wins on the bounce. Mm. It's been a good run into what is going to be a big test.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's giving us a lot of confidence, definitely, like, to keep on building, to keep on playing better each game is exciting. I think that Wales game is some of the best we've played, but there's definitely still areas we can improve on. Like, we know it wasn't perfect, and that's exciting. I think that we can put in a good performance and get the win. So yeah, it's only up, I think.
And at home as well. Yeah. I mean, in front of what is on track to be a record crowd.
Yeah.
You've been here now for 14 caps. You must be really excited about that prospect.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was so loud in Wales. Like, we had a lot of travelling support there, so to think how loud it can be at the Hive with all our home support is really exciting. And yeah, it can get very, very loud. So yeah, I think we're all excited for it.
It can get loud, can't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And we spoke about this last week as well, in terms of it not seeming like a pressure. It is an excitement rather than the pressure. Sometimes home crowds and atmosphere can add a weight to the jersey. I don't get that feeling at all. I see it real exciting and opportunity. To continue the good run, certainly, against a top side.
You're going to also have, like, at the end of the game, you can see it already, like, the kids
out
with
ages to get them.
Their new programmes, and they've got, I think there's even a page in it, isn't there, that they can sign their name. It gets signatures and things. Yeah. That bit will take you. You better add on a good 40 minutes at
the end of the game. You'll find
out who
the programme leaders are.
Yeah.
There's a full programme this week, I think, for the first time in a women's game. It's a full brochure programme. It was a real split in the camp. You had programme readers and non-programme readers. So some players, you'd always, the first thing they do, they'd read it cover to cover, everything.
Oh, yeah.
Mainly looking at the date of birth and the weight or their opposite number and this, that, next thing. But whereas others wouldn't pick up players.
Were you a programme reader?
I wasn't.
You weren't?
No, I had to get out and warm up and do the kicking practice. But
just got on with your job.
I remember Chunk was the biggest programme reader I ever came across in my life.
Really?
He would read it, Alan Jacobson, honestly, every week. It was the same thing week and week, but he'd read it cover to cover. So whether it was a routine or whatever, but it'll be interesting to see who the
will you have a read?
Who the programme digesters are.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
We'll ask you next week.
Yeah, I don't know if that makes me feel better or worse knowing what the other person does. Yeah.
I did start to look at data bursts as I got older.
Did you?
And I remember being in a game, I think it was against Wales, and I read the programme, and, well, I know I'm the oldest in the Scotland side, I think I've said this before, and it's me, I'm the oldest in the Welsh side. And then I looked at the referee, which was Wayne Barnes, and I was older than Wayne Barnes. I thought, like, nah, stop it. It's either time to move on or stop reading the programme data.
It's either way, it's getting starting to get sore. It's a big moment though as well, isn't it? And having that opportunity to do it at home, record crowds. It's looking at the evolution of your own journey from when you were your days at Murrayfield Wanderers right through.
Yeah.
What are your reflections at this point, at this very early part still, but a real swell in your own success?
Yeah, I think it's nice to look back. I think definitely Wanderers feels like a long time ago now. But yeah, it's cool to still be on the sort of the back pitches at Murrayfield playing. It's pretty special. But yeah, like the last couple of years have been a bit of a whirlwind since my first cap, and just trying to stay in the moment, not get too carried away. I think like the next few weeks it's going to be hard work, and yeah, I think it's like a privilege to, pressure's a privilege in that, like it's hard work, but it's exciting. I think we're lucky to be able to do this as our jobs now, and it's days like today when we're outside in the absolute chucking it down weather, mm-hmm. and it was pretty miserable, but yeah, I think
I love my job. You wouldn't swap it.
You play at Bristol now, obviously, and are you still studying as well?
No, finished my studies last summer. So.
Now this is it's biological sciences.
Biology. Zoology.
All done, all finished.
All finished. Yeah, take
a weight off your shoulder.
Massive.
You've got your free time. Your free time now.
No, it's nice just to concentrate on rugby. Yeah. I think it was hard work at uni. Like the uni were always very supportive, but it's nice to just not be trying to fit in essays after a day of training. It's quite a relief.
It's a good pathway, isn't it, to do, like you say, it's a good that they still have that programme running where you can still play your rugby alongside, but it is a big demand on training.
Yeah. Well, in order to compete with the opposition, it has to be a focus, and it's brilliant that they've got that opportunity now, and as I say, it just gives you more opportunity to improve and get better and understand, even rest. Do you know, like your opportunity to rest if you're not... I know it sounds terrible, we're talking about rest and scheduling resting, but it's a massive part of being able to perform at the top level. You have to be able to periodise your week and rest and recover and get away and then switch on and off. Really difficult to do that when you're competing against somebody who that's all they worry about, as compared to you having to do, whether it's work or studies as well. So,
What does rest look like now for you then?
It's a variety. I think, like, definitely when we're in camp, there's a lot of hydro recovery. Mm-hmm. Like, we're lucky we get access to the hot cold baths. The ice baths are less fun. Like there's the sauna, the pool, which is a really, really good recovery facilities for us. And then I tried to get into yoga. That's been a bit hard going. I'm not sure. I'm getting there, I think. But
it's a long process, yoga, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not sure many people are good at it right away.
Yeah. When I first started doing it, it gave me headaches, to be honest. That was too much concentration.
Yeah. So I'm not sure about that. That's what I'm telling the physios. I'm working hard on my yoga. As long as I don't watch this, I'll be fine.
And what about away from exercise, away from physical recovery? What about your life away from rugby? What does that look like? Are you somebody that enjoys going out for food? Are you what do you like to do?
Yeah, definitely. I think living in Bristol now, like I just moved down last summer with Eliane, so that's been really good, the two of us there, and it's just been sort of exploring the city, getting to know that, like there's some really lovely places down there, and we're just trying to make the most of that, going out of course, getting nice coffees and brunches is always a highlight of the week, and Eliane's got her dog, her little collie there, so that's been pretty incredible. Do love Floss the dog.
Like that. That's for me.
Yeah. No, it's been good down in Bristol, just getting to know it.
Is that quite a key friendship for you within the Scotland camp too then, with Eliane? Have you got, where would you say that you gravitate towards within the Scotland camp?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think she's too sick of me just yet. I don't know, you have to ask her. Definitely, I think there used to be a young team. We've sort of grown out of that a wee bit now. It's just a bit
what,
sad.
22, 23?
22 now.
Yeah, you're growing out the young team.
Well, you've got the likes of Fran and Emma.
Yeah. The oldest wee youngies at training, you'd cut off for touch at the start. It used to be about 25, 26.
Oh, really?
So if you're getting out the youngies team at 22, that's a young squad.
Yeah, there's a lot of young girls. They do make me feel slightly older, but I'll be clinging on to the young team as long as I can.
What have you learned about yourself in terms of the time that you've had in the Scotland camp as well? Is it leadership an area that you'd like to evolve into, and coaching? Have you thought about any of these aspects of your game?
Yeah, definitely. I think yeah, as well, perhaps not as young anymore. I think trying to get that experience in the squad leadership, I think it's something that sort of comes, like, falls naturally. I think once you get that experience, just sort of trying to lead by example. I think we've got attack leaders, defence leaders, so I try and lead on attack a bit and just try and bring my point of view and things like that, which is, it's challenging at times, and I think it's a good challenge for me to try and look at the game differently, and it's something that I enjoy, so just trying to bring that through.
I see a lot of leadership in the way you play and the responsibility you take as a player, even as a young player, but you captained the Sevens as well way back when, didn't you?
The under-18s.
I see, because there's, in terms of positional stuff, we speak about 10s and 15s and decision makings, and played a lot in the midfield as well. I see that's the best type of leadership, isn't it? Decision making on the field and leading by example, as well as all the preparation and the, you know, the communication off the field. But no, I think it's definitely something that I could see you, well, you are anyway, but improving and continuing to contribute big time to the squad.
It'll be interesting to catch up with you, you know, again in a few years' time. That's the beautiful opportunity with the podcast. And I suppose just going back to that final point then of playing at 15 and having had that opportunity to do so, is it something that you put your hand up for as well? Is it something that you're gravitating towards and trying to see where you fit in a more broader sense?
Yeah, I think probably credit goes to Dave Ward at Bristol. I think he has pushed me out of my comfort zone a bit this season, trying to try new positions, bit 15, bit 13. Just, I think the way we want to play here, definitely we want like ball players, ball carriers, kickers all across the board. So I think we've got a lot of flexibility between our like midfield and our 15. So that's quite nice. I think it's not too much of a shift in mentality moving to 15, which has made that easier. But it's something, I think it's a new challenge, something to embrace, and it's tough. I think like I said, it gave me a newfound respect for 15s.
Yeah. Blow the fuse in the GPS.
In that case, Mossy now finishes this very happy.
Exactly.
Meryl, always good to catch up with you. Very best wishes for the upcoming fixture against France and for the rest of the Guinness Women's Six Nations.
Amazing. Thank you very much.
I mean, when you think about that win at the weekend, and that's it in a nutshell, isn't it? You know, not only did it garner a first win in Cardiff for, 20 years, it was also seventh win on the bounce, but more importantly, the World Cup rankings, the World Rugby rankings.
Yeah, up to sixth.
Up to sixth, yeah.
The highest ever.
That's huge.
Up from, you know, eighth, but then, you know, relatively recently, 10th, in around the kind of outside the top 10. So it shows you, like, if you manage to string those victories together and certainly beat teams who are above you in the world rankings, it can make a big difference. So it's
some trajectory in 18 months, though, isn't it? That's a desired outcome.
It's consistency,
isn't it?
It's a metric or a I suppose an example of consistency above all else. I mean, I think, you know, Scotland teams can always win, but winning consistently is kind of what we're striving for, and the women's team are doing that. I say seven on the bounce, and you know, tough places as well, close games. You think Italy, Ireland last year, and Wales at the start of this season, obviously WXV2 as well. That's, yeah, there's been pressure in a lot of those games as well, and not all at home, some on the road. So, well, more on the road really than at home. So, yeah, it's important to see that progression through the consistency and the hard work and what you're working towards. But I'm sure Meryl and everybody will agree that there's more to come. That's certainly the goal.
Especially on the back of the investment and, you know, going into the pro game. And
you need to
see that. And we do.
And even, you know, Meryl saying there how important it is for the focus to be solely on rugby if you want to be able to compete at the, you know, with those who are focused solely on rugby and the professional opportunities that have come along. We shouldn't really be surprised at the time on task is now much greater, and the time off task to recover and prepare and improve different aspects of your character and your play. But proving it and putting it, you know, into results is sometimes the most difficult thing, but they're certainly doing it.
Talking about somebody who's taken their opportunities, VP Nell, big news this week that he's hanging up the boots.
Yeah, it's funny because as soon as anybody mentions name, I think everybody smiles. That's a big smile on my face. And it is, because he's such a favourite, isn't he, in terms of what he's brought to Scotland, what he's brought to Edinburgh, what he brings to his teammates, what he brings to supporters. And then I think whenever you mention his name, everybody smiles, and it's just a reflection. But yeah, I think a massive shift from WPNL. I remember when he came over in 2012, he was, and still is, really shy. I think he's a really quiet, you know, person, you know, just a quiet person, really shy person. So to deliver what he's delivered, it's just brilliant. And you know, and overseas, and his family settling here, it's yeah, it's a big smile on everybody's face. Although, you know, at 38, it's a decent shift in the front row. You know, just backing up performance after performance, and yeah, he's got a well-earned rest ahead of him.
Pardon the pun, but you know, he's just kept his head down, really, hasn't he? He's just got on with it. And
well, when he signed at first, he was his USP was his try scoring, like 50 yard, 40 yard try scores, dives, right. And his first couple of seasons, he scored some proper worldies for Edinburgh. There's a bit of cult following because he'd brought it from the Cheetahs, and he's added that just formidable scrumming ability that it's famed the world over, really, for not only for his technical ability, but how much he seems to enjoy a scrum. So yeah, big old shoes to fill, and you know, in a difficult position, but with all that experience he's built up, you know, I'm sure he'll be on the end of the phone call to help the next generation come through.
It's great to see his story land the way it has. I remember when you mentioned that he first came here, and I remember interviewing him back then, and he said at the time, you know, he was really happy to be here, very much looking forward to get stuck in, but he'd had to convince his dad about moving away from the farm at the time and how he was just going to play it by ear and see how it goes. Mm-hmm. And fast forward 12 years, it's great that this has become a home for him, and it looks like those roots are firmly established.
Yeah, and just that any interaction you've had with him, you know, as one-to-one or part of a group, or even any interaction that he's had with the squad, whether it's been first caps or 50th caps, or whether it's been, you know, milestones for Edinburgh, he's such an emotional bloke that it just means the world to him. And I think that's where the warmth from other people, they see that, they see this raw emotion and just pride in what he does, and how thankful he is of how welcome and everybody's been to him and his family. So I'm not sure what the future holds for him, but he'll be a big old miss.
And you can certainly see that emotion playing out on Scottish Rugby's social media channels at the moment. Plenty of content out there celebrating the career of WPNL, who we wish all the very best for the next chapter too. That's it for us for this episode. As always, you can catch up with the latest news and content via scottishrugby.org or via Scottish Rugby's social media channels.